Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 20 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this journey to use NaNoWriMo to level up to professional output levels. Welcome to The Questions, Episode 56. Today, Kane asks, can you elaborate on what you meant by granular in fiction? And J.R. asks, how do you control the plot arc so that it works in short stories? Kane is referencing The Questions episode 28, where I talk about how you settle a story at different lengths from a short story to a novella or a novelette or a novel. And I talked a lot about granularity. Basically, what I said is that the granularity of your information times the scope of your story more or less settles you out at your length. I don't think I included your verbosity, but verbosity has a lot to do with it, too. If you're really long-winded in your style, you'll go a lot farther on fewer events than if you're really short and concise and writing a thriller. And your voice will fluctuate between those kinds of things, hopefully, depending on what kind of story you're writing, because they communicate different things to the reader about what's going on. Granularity is the level of detail that you focus on. It can apply to anything in the book, but if you think of it in terms of how time passes in your story, if you're taking two or three paragraphs to cover a decade, it's going to be a very different book, maybe a very different kind of book, than if you told the same story while slavishly recording every day that passes, or every hour that passes. The granularity is the chunks with which you're taking things, in this case, as far as time passing goes. When you take things in big chunks, it's called telescoping. I suppose that when you take things in really little chunks, it would be called microscoping, though I've never heard anyone use that term. Granularity just has to do with your focus. How small are the events that you're focused on? And it will vary over the course of a story. I used my first Suave Rob book as an example. It's a fairly short book, but it covers about 60 years of time, and it does that by hyper-focusing in on the key events that take place in Rob's life in his quest to surf the supernova over the course of about 50 years, and telescoping big, sweeping events, entire marriages that take place in between the big events that have an effect on his character development, but that aren't really essential to see on screen because they would slow down the central concern of the story. So there's a lot of telescoping in Suave Rob 1. Suave Rob 2, on the other hand, same series, same main character, next book, picks up a couple of months after the first book ends. Suave Rob 2 has a much smaller focus. It takes place over the course of about 3 or 4 weeks. And it does this because in that book, Rob is not on a quest to surf a supernova. He's in trouble for brawling in public and is serving community service, and a couple of the charges in the PE class he's teaching get kidnapped, so he has to go rescue them. Because, of course, there's a ticking clock, and the people that kidnapped them are going to kill them, and Rob has to find them before they die. So that kind of story, the granularity is going to be a lot smaller. You're going to take and pay more attention to the small details of things that are happening every day. And, Suave Rob 2 takes place over the 3 or 4 weeks. Suave Rob 1 takes place over 50 years, but Suave Rob 2 is about 3 times as long as Suave Rob 1, because the granularity in every sense is much smaller. Suave Rob 1's character moment is really big. Suave Rob surfs a supernova, and in the course of doing that, learns how to be humble, accomplishes the biggest thing in the universe, and learns that maybe he's not quite such hot shit after all. That's a big coming-of-age style of character maturation. Suave Rob's movement as a character in Book 2 is much smaller. It's a movement of maturing once you've achieved adulthood. The fact that he's 60 years old doesn't really matter because it's science fiction and everybody's sort of physically 20 years old because they get rejuvenated and that sort of thing. And Suave Rob's an exercise in arrested development, which is part of why he's fun. But his movement in Book 2 is his movement from a lone wolf who has learned a bit of humility, a little bit, to someone who has the ability to reach out and really give a damn about the people around him. That's a maturing rather than a coming of age, and maturing is more subtle. And so to make it feel as important as this big character move in the first book, I focus down onto this comparatively smaller drama and milk it for all it's worth. And it turns out to be, from what I'm told by my betas and the few people who've read it, a very satisfying type of transition. The one sort of naturally follows the other. But you want to find the granularity that is a good fit for your story, that conveys your story to the audience in the way that the audience feels most at home with. And that's going to be different for every story, and it may change radically over the course of a single book. So it's something to be aware of. I'm not sure it's something to fret over unless you're fighting against hard space constraints. If you're really trying to make a short book and you've got a big idea or a short story, what you want to do is you want to follow Elmore Leonard's rule, which is a good rule anyway, but it's extra important if you're trying desperately to control for length. Elmore Leonard said, you just leave out the boring parts. Skip everything that's not essential to the story, and then tell those bits that are essential to the story in the size of chunks that they really need to be told, and telescope anywhere you can. You can get immense economy out of good telescoping. Robert Heinlein, particularly in his juveniles, was a master of efficient telescoping. And he effortlessly shifted granularity from, for the next 5 months we did blah, and then there was this afternoon in my dorm room when, and then you have two chapters on that afternoon in the dorm room. Telescoping is an excellent, vital skill that every writer needs to learn. For most stories, you don't just want to say, 4 months later. What you want to do is you want to take the reader on a little journey over those 4 months in the course of one or two sentences. For the next 4 months, I was worried about what he told me. And then, on a Friday afternoon at the beginning of the next semester, I suddenly realized why it was bothering me. And you work that into a transition, so you're covering all that time and you're making it meaningful, but you're not dilly-dallying and lollygagging around. So I hope that explains what I meant by granularity, Kane. Now, JR, if you take what I just said about granularity and you marry it to what I said a couple episodes back about the length of short stories and the Lester Dent plot formula and other stuff like that, put those all together and you'll start to get an idea of how you control the length of your short stories and keep them from escaping. Now, it won't always work. Some of it has to happen at a conceptual level. Some ideas really are just too big for a short story. But for the most part, with some practice, you can squeeze a hell of a lot of scope and stakes and breadth into a short story if you're efficient with your words and you know when to telescope and you know when to stop and really concentrate on something. You can pack a whole hell of a lot in and you can get a wonderful short story out of some really big ideas. And like I said, reading short stories is essential to figuring out and internalizing how a good short story is paced and packaged. I suppose one other tip I can offer is that most short stories, in fact, every successful short story I have read in my life, is a one-trick pony. It's got one idea it's worried about. Rear Window by Cornell Woolrich. I don't remember what the original story was called, but it's what the film is based on. Is about a photographer who can't stand being wheelchair-bound after an accident, so he starts watching his neighbors and realizes that one of them has committed a murder. Very, very small, self-contained idea, very focused. The focus of the idea is everything for executing a great short story. And if you're trying to help yourself learn to focus, one trick you can do is you can try to lay out the whole story in the first sentence. My short story, Sunday Morning Giraffe, is about a demon-possessed rat who is manipulating a child in order to kill the child's parents. And the first line of the story is, it was 4 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday in January, and Aldo wanted a giraffe. Aldo's the kid. Why would a kid at 4 o'clock in the morning suddenly decide he had to have a giraffe? Well, it's because the demon-possessed rat is manipulating him. Everything is there in that first sentence in terms of the focus of the story. Aldo has an unreasonable demand. The entire story is about Aldo's unreasonable demand and why it's there and what it ultimately leads to. That kind of focus is the kind of focus you want if you want to keep your short stories from escaping. And I think, really, that's about all I can do on the topic. Fortunately, there are no more short story questions in this block. Feel free to send in more for the next recording block, and I will do what I can with them. But until then, thank you for the questions, and I'll see you tomorrow.
NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2016 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivatives License.